commence our service this afternoon by seeking the Lord in prayer. So let's unite our hearts together at the throne of grace and let us seek the Lord and his blessing upon us as we gather for this service this afternoon. Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to thee in our Saviour's precious name, thankful for the one who lives in the power of an endless life. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And Lord, we draw nigh to thee in his name, conscious that he is seated at thy right hand, a prince and a saviour. And our Father, we thank thee for the access we have to thy throne today. We are very conscious, Lord, of the reason for our gathering together this afternoon in thy house. We pray especially for the Bopp family circle that thou wilt minister unto them, as thou dost know their particular need. We pray for Sue Ann and Laurie and Jay, especially, Lord, and their families, that thou wilt be gracious to them in a very special way today, that they might know thine upholding grace. Minister to them as you know their particular need in these days, we pray. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt bless their families also. We think of many hearts that are heavy today, hearts that are broken. We pray that thou wilt bind up the brokenhearted, that will give the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We thank thee today. We do not mourn as others who have no hope. We bless thee for Mrs. Bopp's life and testimony. We thank thee, our Father, for the day that she was saved by thy grace, brought into union with Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the life that she has lived, walking by faith. And we rejoice that in these past days she now walks by sight, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we thank thee for her testimony now, as it has been these past years, and in an even greater sense today, she could say like Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And we thank thee, our Father, for thy mercy to her. We thank thee for the many lives that she has touched. We thank thee for her testimony and her love and the grace that she has shown. And we pray, Lord, today that thou wilt remember her family that are left behind. And as we gather in thy house today, we pray we might do so with the desire to magnify thy great and holy name, that, Lord, thou wilt presence thyself with us in this service, that Christ might have the glory and the honor. We thank thee for the Savior who left the splendors of heaven, came to this sin-cursed world and lived a life of perfect obedience, obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. And then having died, we rejoice that Christ rose from the dead and now lives in the power of an endless life. And as he has promised, he will bring his people home to glory. And we thank thee, Father, for the great truth that comforts our hearts today, that those who die in the Lord are blessed indeed. So, Father, be with us now, we pray, as we worship thee. Bless the singing of these hymns. Bless the reading of thy word. Bless the preaching of thy word today, we pray. May Christ have the glory and the honor. We pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. I'd like to take your hymnal this afternoon and turn to hymn number 476. 476, May the Mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. We'll stand as we sing these stanzas together, please.
Thank you.
congregation may be seated. I'm going to ask Dr. Ed Panosian to come and to read the scriptures for us, please.
A few short days before she left this world for a better, Mrs. Bopp spoke to members of her family of what a comfort to her soul had been Psalm 84 in recent days. Let us consider that psalm together. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for the day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome all who have gathered with us today on behalf of the family. I know they appreciate your presence with them, and we look to the Lord to bless our time together around the Word. We do extend to the Bob Family Circle our Christian sympathy at this time to them. We pray the Lord will uphold them and grant them grace in these days of great need in their family. It is an honour for me personally to have opportunity to bring the Lord's Word at this service this afternoon. Mrs. Bob was a dear saint of God with a tremendous zest for life that remained with her right up to her last days. And as many of you will know, that she did not always have the best of health, and for the few years that I have had the privilege of knowing her, she was constantly on medication of one type or another to help with those issues that she faced. And yet, despite all of that suffering and all of those health issues, she showed a great spirit of joy and gladness, and especially in the things of the Lord. When I first met with her almost 6 years ago now, I learned that she loved to read and took great pride, in the very best sense of that word, in the fact that she was able to work at the library at Shepherd's Care. There was always a number of books at her room and beside her chair, where she was there, an avid reader of all kinds of literature. But the book that she loved the most was the Word of God. And as I would read a psalm or some other passage of scripture, she would very often finish the verse for me or finish the psalm off for me and then say a hearty amen at the end of that. It's always a joy for a pastor to have pastoral visits like that, when someone is with you and able to join along in the reading of scripture. And as I would leave, she would always remind me to come back as soon as I could and to visit with her again to read the Word of God with her. I was often afraid that she would be tired out with the conversation, but she could never be tired out when she got to talking about the Lord. It wasn't just the Lord that she talked about. It was her Lord that she talked about. For as a younger person, she had come to faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we do not sorrow as others who have no hope. We come today in the hope and the victory and the blessings of the gospel to rejoice in the mercy and the grace of God. Her other great love, of course, was her family, her own children and their spouses, and then, of course, her grandchildren, and in latter years, her great-grandchildren also. And therefore, today I say to Sue Ann and to her husband, Greg, and to Laurie and her husband, Warren, and to Jay and his wife, Nancy, that you've lost a dear mother and a mother-in-law, a person who loved you and prayed for you, who wanted the very best of God's blessings for you. And that is a tremendous benefit and privilege in life. And to your children today, to Maria, to Nathan, Melissa, Matthew, and Chelsea, and Hatherley, who's watching online, and to your families, and to Mrs. Bob's brother Don as well, and other members of the wider family circle, please be assured of our prayers for you at this time, that the Lord will uphold you and bless you and give you grace and strength in these days. Godly people are the salt of the earth. They are the light of the world. And godly family members are very precious blessings from the Lord. But the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And we have to say with Job, in circumstances like that, blessed be the name of the Lord. When Job lost his family, one of the first things he did was to worship. He fell down and he worshiped the Lord. And we bless God for his mercies. And yet we look to him today to continue his blessing upon this family circle. There are many friends of Mrs. Bob with us today, many friends from university times, and we trust the Lord will encourage your hearts as well. True encouragement always comes from the Lord, and it comes from the Lord's word. And he has promised to give his people new mercies every morning. Every morning he has promised to be faithful to us. And Jesus Christ is a precious Savior. He's a Savior who saves, he redeems by his precious blood. And when he takes his people home, when he calls them to himself and takes them home to glory, that's a precious thing in his sight. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 116 in verse 15. He said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." And the subject of death, even by Christians, is very often viewed as a very frightening and distressful kind of thing. Although the believer is in Christ and therefore goes to be with Christ at death, the thought of actually dying is often considered with some fear. It was one of the Puritans who said it is a momentous thing even for a saint of God to die. The Apostle Paul called death the last enemy, and in many ways it is an enemy that can instill great fear into the hearts even of the Lord's people. But when the death of a Christian is viewed from God's perspective, an altogether different picture emerges. God does not consider the death of his saints as a dreadful, heartbreaking, distressful event. He understands the grief and the sorrow that enters into those who are left behind, and he pities those as a father pities his children. But God views the death of his people not as a painful experience, not as a painful parting, but as a precious privilege. Psalm 116, verse 15 puts it, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That's a very important text of Scripture. And we need to mark something very important there, because it's a verse that is only speaking of those who are the saints of God. The word saints means those who are righteous. It's referring to those who have been made righteous in the sight of the Lord. It draws us to the truth of justification. A person is made righteous in God's sight only because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they are clothed in his righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own, but we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what makes a person a saint in the sight of God. That's what makes them righteous in the sight of God. This text of Scripture in Psalm 116 is referring only to those who are made righteous in Christ. And the verse is telling us that their death, the death of the saint, the death of the righteous one, is precious in the Lord's sight. But there's something else that we should note there. That is that this statement is true regarding every saint of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's a very broad statement when we think about the saints of the Lord. So long as the person who is dying or who has died is a child of God, that person's death is precious in God's sight. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor they are in this world. It doesn't matter how well known or how little known they may be in this world. It doesn't matter how strong or how weak their faith has been as they have walked with God. If that person is a saint, a child of God, then their death is precious in his sight. You think of some who have died at the stake. Some have been scorched and burned by fires of martyrdom. Others have been surrounded by family and friends and have gone into the presence of the Lord with loved ones singing the hymns of Zion. Others, like Mrs. Bopp, have gone peacefully in their sleep. But if a person has been precious to Christ, washed in his precious blood, having obtained precious faith, having claimed the precious promises of God, united to the precious Christ, then wherever they are and however they leave this world for the next, that death is precious in the sight of God. It's one of the great precious statements in Scripture. And all of that is due to the wonder of God's grace. By nature, we're nothing but sinners, but by grace, some are the children of God. And there's a time in Mrs. Bopp's life when she trusted Christ. She was clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. She became a saint of God. And when she passed from this world into the next, her death was precious in the sight of the Lord. Opens up a question: why does the psalmist make this statement? Or why is death, the death of a Christian, why is it described this way, as being precious in God's sight? Let me give you three reasons. First of all, the death of the Christian is precious because of the great glory it brings to Christ. Because of the great glory it brings to Christ. Death for the Christian is completely different from the death of an unsaved person. If Physically, it may be the same. The heart stops, the lung ceases, the life is gone, and the soul departs. But spiritually, there's a vast difference. And I want you to follow me very carefully here. Death for the unsaved is a terrible experience. It is part of the penalty of sin. It's an aspect of God's condemnation, an element of punishment. When God said to Adam, "Thou shalt surely die," back there in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden, it included physical death. And death is part of the curse that follows sin. And the unsaved person bears their own sin and therefore suffers the penalty of death. But that's not the case for the Christian. Our sins were laid on Christ. And when Christ went to the cross, he bore the penalty of our sin. He was there as our substitute. He was there taking the wrath of God that was our due. He bore our sins and our sorrows on his own body to the cross. And he bore the penalty, including death. He bore the penalty that I deserved. Christ took my place and my sorrow, took my sins, and he died for me. And therefore, the death of the believer is not now a penalty, because Christ has borne that penalty for us. Death for the believer is a privilege. It's a blessing. Because Christ has died, the sting of death is gone for the believer. The grave has no victory over him. Paul speaks that way in 1 Corinthians 15. Where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? Speaking of death and speaking of the grave. Then he reminds his readers that they have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Octavius Winslow once made the comment, "Death in the case of believers is not a curse, but a blessing. Death is one of the precious blessings of the covenant of grace, quite as much as life." Our Lord Jesus Christ met death. He tasted the bitterness of death. He received the sting of death. He endured death, but he overcame death. And by rising, Christ gained the victory over this great enemy that we face. By dying, Christ slew death. That's why John Owen spoke of the death of death in the death of Christ. So when a believer dies in the Lord, it's a precious thing. And that's what Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 1 when he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And it brings glory to the Lord's name when he takes one of his children home. The Lord was glorified when he called Mrs. Bopp home. Our death is an answer to Christ's prayers for us. In John 17, verse 24, we read these words, "Father," these are the words of Christ. He's praying. He's praying as our great high priest. He says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world." What is Christ praying for there? He's praying that his people might be with him in his immediate presence, that they would see him face to face, that they would be like him. And that's what happens at the moment of death. Christ prays that his people would be with him. And when Mrs. Bopp went home to glory, it was an answer to Christ's prayers. C.H. Spurgeon, the Baptist preacher, said, "Every time a believer mounts from this earth to paradise, it is an answer to Christ's prayers." Christ prays to have his people with him. And that death they are with him. It brings glory to his name because it's an answer to Christ's prayer. It is part of Christ's purpose for us also. Christ's eternal, unchanging, unstoppable purpose is that he would bring his people home to glory. It's his eternal plan to save a people for himself and to have those people with himself. when a child of God dies and leaves this world and enters into the presence of the Lord, it's an evidence that Christ's eternal purpose is being fulfilled. That brings glory to the Lord, brings praise to his great and holy name. It also reveals Christ's preservation of us, because death does not sever the union Christ has with his people. Romans 8, in the last verses of that chapter, Paul goes through a list of scenarios that possibly, in the minds of some, could separate them from Christ. He talks about tribulation, nakedness, peril, sword. He said none of these things, not even death itself, can sever the child of God from Christ. He preserves us in life. He preserves us in death. And thus he gets the glory when his people come home. Psalm 23, verse 4, we're all familiar with those words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd does not forsake his sheep, even when they go through the valley of the shadow of death. The great Redeemer does not forsake his redeemed people. Death provides positive proof of Christ's everlasting love, everlasting care, and everlasting preservation of his own people. The death of Mrs. Bob, while it brings grief and sorrow to the hearts of her family, brings glory to Christ. And that's why this text says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because God is glorified. There's another reason, though. The death of the Christian is precious, not just because it brings great glory to Christ. It also brings great gain to those who are in Christ. Death for the unsaved person is a terrifying thing. To leave this world out of Christ, to face the judgment out of Christ, to face eternity out of Christ, to stand before God out of Christ, to have your soul required of you out of Christ, without hope, without God, without a Savior, to leave this world and to be taken away from every gospel opportunity and ushered out into the endless eternity of God without Christ is a fearful thing. But that's not the case for the believer. The child of God does not leave this world for the next without the Lord. And therefore, as he dies or she dies in the Lord, it's a time of tremendous gain. It's what Paul says. He's in a strait. He's not sure what to think. He wants to desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he knows will be far better. For him to live was Christ, and for him to die was gain. That's why the death of the saint is precious, not just because it's a blessing, but because it brings tremendous benefits to the Christian. At death, the Christian is free from all troubles, tears, and temptations. The world's a hard place for any person. It's a very hard place for the child of God. Our way is beset with sins and sorrows. There's a hardness we have to endure. There are trials and troubles we have to face. And death for the believer brings a glorious release from all of that. No more sinful thoughts, no more sad times, no more sorrowful events, no more dreadful temptations to beset us, no more heartaches or burdens or cares. The child of God leaves it all behind. It's a tremendous thing for a Christian to contemplate that day when all the tears and temptations and trials of this life are finally over. At death also, the Christian sees his Redeemer in all his glory. Now we see him by faith. One day we see him by sight. Thomas Watson Another Puritan said, "They shall behold the glorified body of Jesus Christ. And if it be pleasant to behold the Son, how blessed a sight it will be to see Christ, the Son of Righteousness, clothed with our human nature, shining in glory above the angels." To see the King in his beauty. That's what it means to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We see Christ face to face. The Christ whom we have loved. But even more than that, we see the Christ who has loved us. Never, never to leave him again. At death, the Christian will be perfectly holy. This is the lament of every child of God. Oh, wretched man that I am. We sin, we feel, we grow cold spiritually, we backslide, we know our failures, we know our weaknesses. But at death, all that is behind us. No more temptation to sin. No more yielding to that temptation. We shall be like Christ, for we shall see him as he is. At death, the Christian will be in the best company of all. We shall be with Christ and his people. And that forevermore. Down here on earth, we're surrounded by ungodly people and wicked people. We see the terrorism across the world. We see the wickedness that prevails across so many nations. And it grieves the heart of a child of God. But in glory, we will be numbered among that innumerable number of those whose garments are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. At death, the Christian will rest from all his labor. All the labor down here on earth will enter into eternal rest. And at death, the Christian will sing a new song, which will center entirely on the Lamb of God. Death for the believer is a tremendous gain. That's why the psalmist says it is precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. It's a precious thing. It's good for them. And although this family mourns today, they know, and we know, that it's good for Mrs. Bob. She's with the Lord, and her death is precious in his sight. One final thing, the death of the Christian is precious, not just because of the great glory it brings to Christ and the great gain that they enjoy through Christ. The death of the Christian is precious because of the great gladness they experience with Christ. No one can tell. No one can tell the fullness of the joy that the child of God experiences when they are with the Savior. The Bible talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. To blend your voice with the voices of those who are already in heaven, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb," will fill the heart with unspeakable gladness. I mentioned earlier today that Mrs. Bopp was always glad to have a pastoral visit, always glad to talk about the things of God, always glad to talk about her family. Her face lit up when you talked about her children and her grandchildren. And the great-grandchildren. She was glad for those things. But since going home to glory, she has experienced a gladness that she had never experienced before. It's well with her soul. And she has that joy unspeakable and full of glory. So I pray today that the family that mourn will take comfort from these truths, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We ought to view our own death, if we are believers, we ought to view our own death, our pending death, in the very same way. It's a precious thing in the sight of the Lord. And maybe there's someone here and you're not saved, and death terrifies you because you do not have Christ as your Savior. Lord Jesus Christ has gained the victory over death. And you can stand into that victory and know Christ as your Savior. know him as your shepherd and as your king and as your Lord and your Redeemer by coming and trusting him as your Savior. There was a time in Mrs. Bopp's life when she did just that. And the Lord has proved, as he always does, to be a faithful Savior to his people. And I say to you today on the authority of God's word, come to Christ and welcome. For those that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And may the Lord reveal the preciousness of Christ to you today. Bless this sorrowing family. Give them grace in their time of need. And minister to them, to all this congregation, for Jesus' sake. We're going to turn to another hymn in your hymnal, hymn number 342. 342, when this passing world is done, we will stand together again as we sing this hymn, please. Then we'll have a closing word of prayer, and I ask the congregation to remain standing at the close of that prayer. 342, standing together as we sing. Gracious God and our eternal loving Father in heaven, we thank thee afresh today for all that Christ has accomplished for his people. We thank thee for him bearing shame and scoffing rude, and in my place condemned he stood and sealed my pardon with his blood. And we say with the hymn writer, hallelujah, what a Savior. We thank thee, our Father, today for that day when you called Mrs. Bopp to yourself and saved her by your grace. And we thank thee now that she has gone in to thy presence. And she rejoices as she has never rejoiced before. And our Father, we thank thee for the tremendous hope, the tremendous promise, the tremendous assurance of the gospel of saving grace. Bless her family today, we pray. We pray for Sue Ann, we pray for Laurie, we pray for Jay also, Lord, that you'll bless them and their families, that you'll bind up their broken hearts. Remember Mrs. Bopp's brother and her nephews, Lord, we pray that you'll minister to them. Grant them thy grace today. And Lord, for this entire congregation, we pray that thy word would be a blessing to every heart. There are some here who are not the saints of God. Be pleased, Lord, to save them, we pray. We ask for thy blessing to rest upon us, the blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May it be the abiding portion of all thy people from this day forward and evermore. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.